If the last couple years have been the age of the Instant Pot, there is a new countertop convenience cooking appliance in town. The air fryer. People are getting obsessed with air fryers. I can't swing a chicken cutlet in my office without hitting a new air fryer cookbook. So you might be thinking about getting one for this holiday season, but when the folks at America's Test Kitchen set out to test them, well, Lisa McManus did her best to be diplomatic about it, I guess. Here she is explaining to Sally Swift exactly what they are.
Well, they're countertop appliances that promise to produce perfectly fried food very quickly and with very little oil, which sounds great, right?
Yeah, it sounds perfect.
Well, the reality is a little bit different. We tested 9 different models, and they're not cheap. They're $60 to $250. And we tried them on all kinds of, you know, fried foods that you might want to do, you know, in a lighter way, like French fries or chicken wings and chicken parm. We quickly discovered that air fryer is not exactly, well, it's a little bit misleading.
So what are they if they're not fryers?
Well, they're more like a convection oven. They don't fry because frying really is when you have hot oil contacting the food, and the heat transfers through that hot oil much more quickly than it does through air. So that gives you that crisp crust and that juicy, just cooked food inside. It doesn't let the food dry out before you get that beautiful crust on the outside. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, fat tastes great, so it adds a lot of richness. These, because they're doing very little oil, stands to reason, they taste a lot leaner, like you had oven fried things. So that's kind of the standard we ended up comparing them to. How do they taste compared to food that you oven fried on a sheet tray with maybe a wire rack?
And what did you find?
Well, you know, most of them made comparable food to what you could get on a sheet pan with a wire rack in your oven. Which sort of begs the question, do you actually need to buy this thing? Because some of these are a foot and a half wide and, you know, 20 inches high, and they're big, you know, and they're and they're not cheap. So we were sort of like, well, you know, and some of them are pretty confusing to use. They had lots of dials and buttons, and, you know, if you bumped them, the settings would change, and, you know, they were not perfect, most of them. But we actually liked several of them for what they were. And, you know, at the end, we could kind of recommend one or two of them.
Well, I want to back up a minute because these things don't hold very much food either, do they?
No, and that was a big surprise and a bit of a drawback for, you know, normal size, like, I don't want to say normal, but larger portions. You know, if you're not cooking for one or two people, you're going to be standing there all day like a short order cook with this little thing. They're big machines. You know, the ones we liked had these drawers in the front that you could just pull the drawer out, and it's like a little fry basket. And you throw the food in there and push it back in and set the controls on the top. And it whirs around this hot air and cooks the food through convection, which is just circulating hot air around that food in a little basket. You can't really cook for a large family with this.
So if you're cooking for two people or you have a teenager at home for after school snacks or something, this might be the right thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, it also preheats very, it doesn't really require preheating like your oven. It cooks, you know, very quickly. So, I mean, not significantly faster than the oven, but a little bit, and you don't have to preheat. They also don't get hot on the outside. So if you're trying to do one or two portions, say in the summer, and you just don't want to heat up your whole oven, not a bad choice. And another nice function is a lot of them turn themselves off when they're done cooking. So, you know, if you are one of those people who starts cooking some food and then the smoke alarm goes off, this might be a good choice. They're not entirely hands-off. You do have to stop and shake the food around and get that air to circulate. But, you know, they're pretty straightforward to use if you pick the right ones.
And which did you guys pick?
Well, our favorite, unfortunately, was the most expensive one at $250, but it works great for what it is, and it's called the Philips TurboStar Air Fryer Avance Digital. It has sort of a smaller profile, had automatic shutoff, it was easy to clean, and the controls are really intuitive.
And is there anything less expensive than that?
Yeah, well, it's more affordable. It's called the GoWise USA 3.7 quart 7-in-1 air fryer. It's about $75. It's our best buy. It's a little bit less intuitive, but it works quite well.
Okay, well, it sounds to me like you guys really did your work. Thanks, Lisa, for coming in and reporting.
Thanks for having me.
Lisa McManus heads up the ingredient and equipment testing for America's Test Kitchen. You can find a list of the air fryers they do recommend at splendidtable.org. And that is our show for the week. Sorry to end it on a downer about those air fryers, but hey, holiday time is real talk time. That's not a thing. No one actually says that. Okay. We'll see you next week.